step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey everybody, the trio is back. We are already being mean to each other in the green room. Hopefully there's no HR people on this video. We're excited to be here with you guys. Me and Sam are going to be in California, May 20th in San Diego downtown, May 21st in LA downtown. Get your tickets now. Well, Summer and I might have some live shows coming up too. We'll see. So just Everybody's getting involved. Everybody's getting involved.
News to me. That's exciting.
It might be happening. But come on down to SoCal. Come hang. All right, guys. We've got a lot to cover today. A lot happening in the right-wing media. But we do want to start with what's happened at a legacy media outlet, which is CNN. It's just legacy media for now, I guess, until the Ellisons take it over and turn it into... have like 4 hour blocks of Scott Jennings. I don't know what's exactly going to happen on CNN once Ellison's take over. Barry Weiss's sister will probably have a show. Hours of Scott Jennings, TBD on what happens with Jake Tapper. So I want to play last night. Jennings was going after my boy Adam Mockler, and things got a little heated. There's even a curse. And I thought we should watch that together.
I mean, honestly, they have been at war with us for 47 years.
We all know that Scott Jennings is more than happy to defend a war with a country that starts with the letters IRA that we are currently failing, that is going to put us trillions and trillions of dollars more in debt. I was only a few years old while you were in the administration defending prior endless wars. Now, this war is failing.
Eight weeks is endless to you?
Okay, you said it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
You have the attention span of a gnat?
Debated you on TV 4 to 6 weeks ago, and you said we were weeks away from it. Now you're making condescending remarks because you can't defend the fact that this war is not going your way. Wait, one more time. One political concession.
I'm not going to have this guy's
Everybody,
my face. Everybody, hang tight.
Honestly.
Okay?
He's aware of this live television.
Everybody calm down, okay? We're having a debate.
Got Geraldo there in the corner.
Wow. Sam, you've been on a lot of panels on cable news. There's been some heated moments. That's a little different.
I've never dropped an F-bomb on a panel. At least I don't think I have.
You never pointed at somebody's face and dropped.
But I don't. Was he even? I was gonna say, was Adam point? Was Adam?
When Jennings turned around, like, get your hand on my fucking face. Like, he was pointing at Mockler, telling him to fucking stop. That's lost cool. Yeah.
I was going to make the note of Geraldo being there. Geraldo must have been just absolutely like aroused by it all. It's like, this is Geraldo's shit, right? Like, he loves this shit. But also, like, the whole thing afterwards where Scott like felt like he needed to talk to Abby about, I'm not going to deal with this guy's hand in my face. Like, I don't want to deal with this hand in my face. His hand really wasn't in his face. So I don't know what prompted it. It didn't seem like that serious an attack on Scott, even. I don't know, why did he blow up?
What
like
prompted
that?
It is a 19-year-old was owning him, and manhood was in question, and he got triggered. I think his cortisol spiked.
His cortisol spiked, but that's crazy, that type of reaction.
I don't know. I think he felt like he got mogged very hard by Adam Mockler, and he looks at Adam Mockler and it's like, you're 12 and I can't, and I'm losing badly to you. And so I'm going to threaten to fight. I mean, it was kind of, it's Michael Tracy-esque a little bit, like, meet me at the Hampton Inn after this, Adam Mockler. I don't know. Will, what did you make of it? You're an expert in cortisol.
in cortisol spiking. Yeah. I think you're right on there, Tim. I think you can tell. I mean, we have to also consider, Kat Abagazela, another kind of like young left wing person, is there too. So I feel like Scott maybe felt already like a little embattled. And then, the part where Adam just goes, I was still in high school when you were effing up, buddy, and you're doing it again, and another disaster for you. And then he just goes, he flips out.
Yeah, I also just think, look, when I was on Piers, I think I brought this up on our last trio, but like, Piers can't find people to come on and defend the war, right? Like, when I was on, like, I agreed to it because I wanted to argue about the war, and it was like supposed to be Doug, the person that calls himself a pastor, and Michael Knowles.
Oh, yeah.
But Michael Knowles didn't show up, and even Doug is not like is more excited about bringing slavery back than he is about this war. Like Doug wasn't like very like Doug was very kind of passive in his support for the war. And yeah. So it's like it's hard to, and they're a handful out there. And you know, you can have Mark Thiessen and Micropenis Mark Levin. I've been like, they can't be on every panel, you know? And so it's tough. And I think Scott is in a situation where he's like playing the heel role where he has to defend everything. He's decided that that's his role. And it's like, there's not a lot of good stuff to point to here.
Yeah. I think that's a big problem. Do you think Scott doesn't actually support the war and he just is like having to, he knows that this is his livelihood is he has to just carry the water.
Does Scott even think about what he really supports anymore? Is I guess a question. You know,
he's
or is
definitely
he fully
not
in character.
I think he's in character.
I
mean,
he's fully in character.
People. This is not me speaking.
His character's for the war.
Sure, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here because I think other people have made this observation about Scott. But like, there's a. I never considered him a major source of any variety. But like, I definitely talked to Scott over the course of years, many years ago, and. He's definitely become much more Trumpified than what he once was. And I think it's been pretty lucrative to the guy, honestly. Right? Like he, that's
and
it. And he's got
opened a lot of doors for him,
yeah.
Including this. Will flagged this right before he came on. I want to go ahead and put this up in the screen here. This is the Gulf of America cruise. A week at sea with those who share your values and perspective. Scott Jennings is the main character there. Mike Gallagher... I thought that was Roger Stone until I read the words there, but that's Mike Gallagher.
Yeah, this
is
kind of the C
rough.
Team.
Larry O'Connor is like a local DC conservative talk radio.
Larry O'Connor, I believe, just got bumped up to national. They were making a big deal about it this week. Okay. It's the 6 a.m. slot, though. So, you know, don't get too excited.
6 a.m. slot, national talk radio. So, yeah, Will, I mean, you know, the conservative cruises are a thing, always been happening for a long time. But the Gulf of America cruise with Scott Jennings. Imagine being at sea for a week with Scott Jennings.
Boy. And Larry O'Connor.
Get that finger out of my fucking face.
I like how they're all in suit jackets in the picture as well. It's like, are these guys going to be shirtless? Am I going to have to see Scott Jennings' nipples if I go on this cruise?
You know, as you said, I mean, look, conservative cruises are a long time tradition. You know, I believe our colleague Bill Kristol, at least, and maybe some others have definitely, hit the Lido deck once or twice.
For sure.
In this case, I do think this is a bit lower rent. We're kind of going down. I think National Review has had a cruise. You know, it's bad. I mean, Scott Jennings is by far like the biggest deal person on this cruise.
Yeah.
How much do you get to be on this cruise if you're Scott Jennings, do you think? Like, what are they paying you here? Who's doing this cruise, by the way?
Let me just put this in from my perspective.
How much would they have to pay you, Tim?
I think $100,000. I think $100,000. A week at sea? You're trapped on a boat with people that like want to corner you? And all the time, I mean, if it's a conservative cruise, anything, I'm trapped on a boat and I'm like a monkey in a zoo. Like you're paying me to go and just clap the chimes and like walk around and talk. I have a life, man. I've got friends. I've got family. Like what? Why would I want to do? I wouldn't take my family on a cruise. I think $100,000 is the number
for folks out there. I would do it for $99.99. Okay,
well,
you get a deal.
I think this shows. I've never been on a cruise before. I'm curious. I was gonna say, look, I mean, you put me up three hots and a cop. You know, I'll do it. You know.
There you go.
Why not?
The Will Summer Bulwark Cruise is coming into focus right now.
Oh, man.
And the name's right there. We already have the pun. It's the Will Summer Cruise with the Bulwark.
Yes,
you could be the MC. All right. Well, this isn't the only cruise out there that I wanted to chat with you guys about. We have a cruise-themed episode. I came across this video on Instagram. I have a hate follow on Instagram, which is a gay conservative named Rob Smith. And occasionally, when I'm feeling a little feisty on Instagram, we'll argue with each other in the comment section of our Instagram post, which is a very healthy thing to do.
Yeah, you need help.
It's definitely what I should be spending my time on. But I came across this, and it caught my eye. This is Rob Smith from the first annual Gay Conservative Cruise. Let's watch.
All right, as you can see behind me, I am on the first ever gay and lesbian conservative cruise. We are about to sail away right now. All these red shirts you see behind me are gay and lesbian Trump supporters. It is absolutely incredible. Thanks to Steve for putting this on at Rite of Center events. It's absolutely incredible. The energy has been so good. Everybody is so happy to be here. Everybody is so happy to be an open, out and proud conservative.
It's like a lot of fun.
And I got to tell you, if you were not here this year, you definitely got to be here next year.
Where are they? Is that a parking
lot? I want to go also, before we get your reaction, you know, everybody got a visual there. You could see the crowd size. Everyone there in the red shirts. Matt, can we look at the other video where Rom gives his top takeaways from the cruise?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm on the first ever gay and lesbian conservative cruise. Here are three things that I learned about the gay conservative movement. Number one is that it's actually a very diverse movement. You've got the people that will wear t-shirts that says like Hillary for prison 2016. They'll wear Trump 45, 47 hats. They'll wear MAGA hats. Like, they're super into like the online MAGA thing. But also you have people that are just chill Republican conservatives,
just chill.
Make money, don't want to pay taxes. You know, they voted for Trump, but they're not like super into all of that MAGA stuff. So, you know, it's a very diverse group of people. The second thing that I learned is that gay conservatives blend within just basically mainstream straight world probably better than a lot of the Alphabet Mafia does. This is not the entire boat. We've got about a third this boat, so there are straight men and women and kids and all that stuff, and everybody is just kind of like, you know, coexisting. And
they're children on the gay conservative cruise?
And number three, honestly, it's just gay conservatives are so much more normal than the Alphabet Mafia. I mean, look, people want to have their cocktails, you know.
So, like, imagine you sign up for a cruise, okay? It's you. You brought your mom along. It's grandma's there with you. You've got your three kids. You're going to the cruise. You get onto the ship. You're excited for dinner and a show, some time by the pool. And one third of the boat is conservative homosexuals in red t-shirts talking about how much they want to bang Rick Grinnell. Like, what? That is that is a nightmare.
You're like, I thought I was just here to see Scott Jennings. Where's Scott Jennings? Oh, wait. Where's Larry O'Connor?
What boat company did this? Is this Carnival? This is an affront. Whatever boat company, you cannot have a one-third full gig. If you can't fill up the boat, you can't have the cruise. Okay? I mean, we don't want like cruising, sauna time between these fucking pudgy ass gay homos. And like,
you can say this. You can
kids are running by. Kids are running by.
Yeah. It does. There's a story. Can I tell you a story about this kind of happened to me, not to this degree, and I was younger. But my family was on a trip in Israel, and I was like 12 or something, maybe 11. And we were at the Sea of Galilee. This is going places. And it happened to be New Year's Eve. And my sister, who's older than me, was like wanting to party. And because she was like 13, 14, she wanted to actually go out and do something. And so she organized our whole family, including my younger brother, who's like 6 years younger than me, to go on a boat on the Sea of Galilee that night. And so we're like, cool, we'll go on the boat. We all get on the boat and we look up and we notice it's all men on the boat. And it's just all men and just my family. And they're all dancing with each other. So we're stuck on the Sea of Galilee with a bunch of gay Israelis for New Year's Eve for hours. So, yes, this would be an equivalent of that, except they'd be conservative in this case.
Wow. Yeah. That's quite the story. That was a formative moment for you, Sam.
Yeah.
Did you see anything? Was there
poppers? It was a great New Year's.
Did you learn about poppers on that trip?
I was 11 or 12. Actually, this does raise another question. How much would you charge to go on that cruise?
The gay conservative cruise.
The gay conservative cruise. $150?
I think half a million. Just so you guys know, we had some technical difficulties, and I got Sam down to $49,000 on the will. On the,
you drove a Will's
summer cruise. So only $49,000. So Sam's probably happening for Sam. Sure. Well, what did you? Has been there been a lot of buzz about the gay conservative cruise?
This is really the first time hearing of it. I mean, I think I was looking at this website, this right of center, you know, gay cruise operation. And, you know, I think for one of their cruises, it's like 30 people. It looks like Rob's was a little bigger than that. I will say Rob is like pretty willing to do stuff for a paycheck. I mean, he famously just took a couple months ago, he took a trip to Qatar and was just like, Qatar is an amazing American ally. So the one other thing I wanted to note is like you can see kind of the quandary of the gay conservative where he's like, the big difference with us, we can be around kids. And it's like, okay. You know, I think liberal gay people can be around kids too. Yeah,
I have kids. It's also very strange. It's like, we're normal. Are you? You guys are all there in your matching red shirts, and somebody apparently had a Hillary for prison shirt on it. That's a decade old. Like, what is your definition of normal? So it's like when J.D. Vance was like, the normal gays are with me. You know.
I like how the
Peter
diversity
Thiel,
is like.
Whose diversity skin is melting.
Diversity in this case is some wear like truly obnoxious t-shirts and others choose not to. Like, that's the spectrum here, folks.
Wow. It seemed like the turnout wasn't great, I guess, is really the big takeaway. I think that Rob is in. I think Rob has a good grip going. I think he's realized this, but, you know, it's just the whole notion that the MAGA movement was going to be really accepting and excited for gays. I feel like that's waning, you know.
And this is the guy you engage on Instagram at night. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't see a lot of hotties with bodies on that quiz either. I guess I'll throw that out there. All right. We have a couple other things I want to update us on. With last trio video, we were discussing the Candace Loomer feud, which has escalated some. How could you escalate from tramp stamp and your husband is gay, you wonder? Well, this is how. The screenshot of Candace sending a text saying Erica killed Charlie.
That was put out by Turning Point USA. We saw Erica Kirk had this disastrous appearance where she dressed like a rapper or like a paramilitary. And then Turning Point said, oh my gosh, we got to turn the heat up. And so they put out this text that Candace sent to a Turning Point employee who was kind of like under her sway and said, you know, you should ask Erica why she killed Charlie Kirk, which is like pretty poor advice, I would say. But... you know, basically, this is all really ramping up. Laura Loomer dug up Candace's husband's DUI arrest and his mugshot. So things are getting uglier.
Let's take a look at that. Oh, he's kind of a handsome guy, George Farmer. It's too bad that he's in the clutches of Candace. You would think he could do better.
Oh, and he's rich, too. You know, and they got married within, you know, like a couple weeks of knowing each other.
It does raise questions. I don't want to be on the side of Candace, but it is a little curious to meet somebody, immediately get married when you have a lot of options. You know, generally you see the kind of minor royals, you know, kind of playing the field a little more.
So for a long time now, you know, people have been saying, when is someone going to sue Candace over this stuff? Obviously, Brigitte Macron is suing her over the trans stuff, but Candace had not been sued over the Turning Point stuff. So then on Thursday, the head of Charlie Kirk's security, who, as you can imagine, was very implicated by Candace and all these theories, a guy named Brian Harpole, he finally sued, represented by top DOJ official Harmeet Dhillon's law firm. So you can see there's kind of like some official MAGA backing here. So he's suing over a truly bizarre, you know, of all Candace's ideas. She had this guy on who argued he saw Erica and this Brian Harpole guy at a military base the day before the assassination, suggesting that it was kind of this like deep state plot. So now he's suing over that.
Assume that Harmeet Dhillon signed off on this and is orchestrating this.
Well, you know, I have to assume that now that she's in government running the civil rights division, I would assume she's like not that involved. But I mean, this is like Dhillon Law, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I do think that this is like a group that is very much like a conservative movement law firm. Yeah. Like they've represented a bunch of other people in like defamation. They represented Loomer, you know, in the past. Now she's suing one of their lawyers or you know, one of their attorneys did.
Can we talk a little bit about the Erica Kirk appearance, the video she cut from the studio looking like Jamiroquai a little bit? why did she do that? What's the explanation? I'm not trying to like, I'm honestly not trying to like, I feel for her. She has to do this shit. And she went through another trauma at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. And like what people give her a lot of shit and I'm not for that. But it does seem like at some point she should recognize that the more she puts herself out there, she's not doing herself any favors.
I guess, does she need to do this? I cringe a little bit at some of the more over the top attacks on her, particularly in the wake of her husband's death. But it's been going on for a while now. And she decided to take over an organization that's a political organization. And with that comes criticism and mockery, like the Drewski video, which was fucking hilarious.
I serve a righteous God. And that is why we say our prayers.
Hilarious. But like, I don't know, if I got assassinated next week, I don't think Tyler would take over the podcast. You know what I mean? It's a kind of a rare thing. Like every once in a while, this will happen where a spouse will take over their, you know, it's usually the wife takes over their husband's mission. This does happen in politics from time to time, but like, she doesn't have to do it. I mean, that's Andrew Colvett guy is like, seems like he's basically running TPUSA anyway. He could have done that. They could have gone and done a search and found someone else, you know, whoever is the most impressive of the little Nazis running their various campus organizations. Like that person could have taken it over, right? Like it's strange. And she seems very volatile and emotionally unstable. And it's just like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I give her some leeway for the emotional instability, but to your point, like every time she goes public, and this is it happens every single time, it just doesn't really. I mean, she's just subjecting herself to this cruelty, and maybe something is just like fuck the haters, right? But at the same time, it doesn't seem like she does herself any favors by doing these types of videos.
She's also just not that good at it, which is like thing, right? Like she's just not good at it, and it's just like okay, I mean, there are things I'm not good at. Right. If I was married to an NBA player and they got assassinated, I wouldn't take over their role as the shooting guard of the team. You know, like I'm not good at that. And she's not good at this. And so I just think that would be.
Will, do the people, is there any like internal TPUSA gossip you hear about this or no?
You know, I hear from sort of people, sort of like tertiary TPUSA people. And I do think there is this sense of like, I think after a few months, people, I think, cut her a lot of slack because obviously she was grieving, facing these things. But I think as we're saying here, you know, it's been a rough 7 months in terms of her public image and stuff. And for me, I think what was so crazy was this outfit, this like this all black, this kind of like, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Kind of like a cat burglar.
Yeah, like a cat burglar. And so I think after like a couple months of being like, okay, I think my instincts are off, even if you're going to stay in this role, I think maybe let's have a more, conservative, sort of less ambitious look for this. And the other thing I would say is that like, you know, she mentions the Drewski skit, which you mentioned, Tim. I mean, she said, you know, I've been taking all these arrows. You know, Candace Owens says I murdered my husband. There are comedians doing whiteface of me.
I have comedians dressing up in whiteface. I have people saying I'm not fit to be CEO, and I have Candace Owens claiming I murdered my husband.
And, you know, Ashley St. Clair and both Milo Yiannopoulos, after that video came out, they said, look, like Charlie Kirk loved when he was lampooned in the mainstream media because obviously it's a sign of his success. It kind of makes more people aware of him. They said he would have, you know, had Drewski done a whiteface thing of him, he would have been dining out on that for 6 months. He maybe would have done a video with Drewski. And so, I mean, I understand that she's not up for that. But at the same time, it's kind of like what the modern media environment requires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rough all around for old Erica. What else do we have here? I don't know what this is. I've just been told that there's a Calista Gingrich Facetune item that has been prepared for this video. And let's just take a look, and I'll be learning along with the viewers.
Hello. Whoa. I'm Calista Gingrich, and I'm delighted to celebrate National Apprenticeship Week.
What?
As U.S. Ambassador to Switzerland and Liechtenstein, I've seen firsthand the power of apprenticeship.
So play it again. Play it again. I was too far. I was scared. It's like an apparition.
Hello. I'm Calista Gingrich, and I'm delighted to celebrate National Apprenticeship Week. As U.S. Ambassador to Switzerland and Liechtenstein, I've seen firsthand the power of apprenticeships.
What is happening with her face? What is that?
I don't know. Why did they do the blue screen behind her?
I mean, that looks like the kind of thing in a movie that's like, welcome to the bunker. Like, the world as you know it no longer exists.
does seem like that.
Can we just pull it up as a still? Can we pull it up as a still? I need to take one more look at it.
But did they mean for the blue screen to have like a fake CGI backdrop on it and they just didn't put in like, was it like supposed to be like the Swiss Alps or something like right
like there? Apprentices?
This feels like this is supposed to be from The Leftovers like type situation. I mean, that is spooky. Do you think her and Newt are still kissing?
Yeah, man. They put up pictures all the time of them on the golf course.
That sort of gets to another point. I mean, famously, she's a big fan of Facetune, right? Where you kind of like smooth out your face. And she doesn't give Newt the same treatment.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Newt will look like an old guy. And then she has like a totally smooth face. So I kind of assume the same thing's going on here.
Can I just tell everybody, look, if you want to do something to make yourself feel better, like to your face or to your body, I'm for it. Okay. I don't want to do anything that would inhibit your ability to be your true self. I just as an objective observer, though, if you overdo it on the face tuning, it is creepy. It takes you into the uncanny valley. Like, I would rather see a couple of your wrinkles. Like, I would rather feel like you're a human that I can touch, who breathes, who has a beating heart, you know, who gets excited in the bedroom. Right, like this does not look like that. This looks like a strange apparition, inhuman, that is very scary and makes me want to run away from you. And I see this in my personal life. I see some people that overdo it on the face tuning. I'm like, you know, a little light face tuning, you know, spruce things up a little bit, little thought pick, sweet. But once you're teetering into, is this a human or is this some other kind of foreign species inhabiting our planet? That's a mistake. And if you want somebody to just be a gut check for you on that, you can just shoot me a message with the draft and I'll do my best to review.
We've really come full circle on this conversation. We started with hands being too close to someone's face and we've ended with face tuning. Look at that.
Well, there you go, Sam Stein. This is why you're usually in the host chair. We'll leave it there. Come see us in San Diego or Los Angeles. Subscribe to the feed. We are getting passed by some of these MAGA losers on YouTube subscriptions. So fucking subscribe right now.
Please.
Go subscribe. And tell your friends to subscribe. And if you have a second account, just subscribe on that one too, just for fun.
If we raise enough money from paid subscriptions, we will use those funds to pay for Tim to go on a gay
cruise. For Will's summer cruise. Will's summer cruise brought to you by The Bulwark. We'll see y'all then. Bye.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.